The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole, 6-0-1-0. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp. Sitting to my left is Mike Clay. What's up, Mike?
Not too much. We're on video.
I know we are.
That's weird. We're on Facebook. I'm like distracted here. I'm going to post the link here on Twitter. So if anyone out there is, I don't know how you would be listening to this if you weren't on Facebook. So I guess I just wasted my time. But at least I told Twitter
exactly.
Right now. They know, so they can tune in and listen to our new look show.
Absolutely. If you want to listen to this or watch us live in the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page every Thursday, myself, Mike Clay. Oh, and our other buddy, Al Zeidenfeld. Al, what's up, dude?
How's it going, Daniel? How's it going, Michael? Good morning, guys.
There he is. I can see Al, too.
Man, he looks
technology,
great.
Man.
He even dressed up for this, a button-up shirt and all of everything.
Collar, the whole shebang-a-bang.
Wow, I love it. Shebang-a-bang. I've never once heard that said by
you. That must be a West Coast thing.
That's a SoCal thing.
They say that when it's warm out in December.
Here's what's going to happen. Normally, every Thursday, we do a DFS podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We break down all the DFS slate. However, with the new Fantasy Focus lineup being Monday, Tuesdays, and Fridays, we want to make sure that you guys get something from the Thursday game. So, we're going to go through and make sure that you have a little bit from the Thursday game. We're going to do that real quick off the top. You could take this as far as whether it's season long or it's DFS. You could do either one of those. So even if you don't play DFS, this is still going to help you out for all your season long stuff because Mike and Al are going to talk about some really smart things here. So without further ado, we're going to quickly get into the Thursday night football topic. And guys, let's break this down because there's a couple of people that I feel like are obvious must starts. Zeke, Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson. Any disagreements there?
No, I think you got it. Zeke Cooper and Robinson. Yeah, I don't see. Not Jesper Horsted. We're not going to go with him as a must start, so I'm with you.
All right. So then here's my question. Mike Clay, Dak Prescott is QB4 on the season.
Yes, he is.
He is 6 points away from being the number two QB in fantasy this year. And yet, for some reason, in the first week of the playoffs, you're telling me he's outside the top 10 and I should not play him.
I am. And by the way, in the pre-show meeting, you said you were going to come at me, and that was a little tame. I expected like fantasy show level screaming.
No way.
Yelling.
I mean, listen, we're still friends. I don't want you to think that we're not friends. I think you're stupid.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
See, that's what I was looking
listen,
for.
Here's a top four quarterback that in the first week of the playoffs, you'd be like, hey, guess what? You should trust Ryan Tannehill over Dak Prescott.
Well, who's been the better fantasy quarterback the past 5 weeks? It's a pretty decent sample, right?
5 weeks combined, I think it's Dak Prescott.
I don't think so. I would take the. I actually don't know. I don't look that up, but I think it's Tannehill. I think it's definitely Tannehill. But anyway, look, I have him 13th on my board, right? So I do agree that he is a guy you could consider benching this week, and he's actually been fine, right? Like he was really good the first 3 weeks, and he's come down from there after that easy schedule. He's been okay, but really, this comes down to the matchup, right? It's Thursday game on the road in Chicago against a defense that isn't as dominant as they were last year, but they're still really good. Fifth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks over the past 6 weeks and for the season on a per-snap basis. They've only allowed 13 passing touchdowns in 12 games. They haven't allowed more than two passing touchdowns in a single game this season. They've actually allowed 0 or 1 in 8 of their 12 games. And this is perhaps the number that jumps out the most to me. The Bears defense has not allowed a top 12 fantasy week to a quarterback this season.
Wow.
0 top 12 fantasy weeks. And they've been especially good at home. Points allowed. So overall points allowed at home, 10, 6, 36. That was at random Saints game. 17, 13, and 14. That's an average of 16 per game. And again, that includes that 36 points to the Saints. So for me, again, just comes down to Dak playing on the road. I think he's going to have a hard time against this defense, racking up yardage and certainly touchdowns.
Okay. Interesting that you think that. Al, I'm curious if you have any other... my rankings reflect a different story, but that's all right here. We're not here for my rankings. Do you have anything that you want to talk about as far as Dak Prescott and why you think Mike is either right or wrong here?
I mean, you could say that Mike's right, just judging on Amari Cooper's home road splits. Since he's been on the Cowboys, he's averaging 26.8 DraftKings points in home games, 85 yards receiving in 8 of those 11 games that he's played at home on the road, only averaging 8.5 DraftKings points. So as Dak goes, so goes Amari Cooper. Or you could say it conversely. As Amari Cooper goes, so does Dak Prescott. So that's what brings in the ceiling is Amari Cooper's talent, his big playability. If that's not there on the road, where's Dak?
Okay. So I hear what you're saying. I get you guys. I just disagree with you. I think Dak Prescott, I would have him if I had my rankings on the site. I think he would be a probably top seven, top eight for me. Understanding okay. that Dak has been a top 10 quarterback 8 times this season. The idea that his average weekly finish is third highest among QBs behind only Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. So I get it. Tough matchup. He's had 2 weeks that were like huge downers, single digit weeks. But I guess I just look at that offense and I think that Dallas has more opportunity and more firepower to give me what I want rather than maybe a, you know, Josh Allen or a Ryan Tannehill or a Kirk Cousins without Adam Thielen.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting late in the season. We still like, is this a board bet situation here? Like a top 10?
I am down.
Can we do that?
I say Dak Prescott will be a top 10 quarterback this week.
I say Dak Prescott will not be a top 10 fantasy quarterback this week.
Put it on the board.
We nailed that.
All right.
Yeah.
you see, you're the hip guy. I do the open hand. You do the fist bump. See?
Okay.
All right.
That was so, up until that point, it's so weird.
Listen,
to try
I had the hand up
someone,
first.
And they've got their hand out flat.
No, but I was
like,
first.
What are you doing? My hand is obviously a fist.
It's on you. My hand
okay.
is up first.
All right.
I initiated, you delivered the wrong return. Anyway.
Next up, with Dak being a little bit lower for you than usual, my question now is Michael Gallup. Obviously, Cooper's a must start. So Gallup, I mean, does he fall out of that flex consideration for you with the way that you're downgrading Dak?
No question. I'm at wide receiver 38, and I'm a big Michael Gallup fan for sure, but I'm just not seeing it this week. He's actually trending the wrong direction as of late anyway, right? So he's had 11 or fewer fantasy points in 5 of his past 7 games, including 2 in a row. So trending the wrong way. Obviously, that's a pretty decent sample of him underwhelming. And then, you know, Chicago against receivers aligns with what they've done against quarterbacks. Six fewest fantasy points to receivers this season. Wide receivers have only scored 7 touchdowns against him on the season. They've allowed the 7th fewest receiving yards and the 6th lowest yards per target. So it's volume problem and it's an efficiency problem. They have a very good secondary. Kyle Fuller hasn't been quite as dominant as he was last season, but Prince Amukamara, aside of getting burned on badly by your Lions, Kenny Galladay blew right by him on Thanksgiving. That was on national TV. People probably have a negative outlook on him because of that, but he has been very good this season and for a long time. One of the most underrated corners in the league, in my opinion. So they're still very good on the perimeter. That's where Gallup plays. So yeah, I would, with everything on the line here in the playoffs, I would try to find someone else.
Yeah, tough to trust him there. Al, I want to ask you, confidence in David Montgomery, understanding the back and forth nature that David Montgomery has had all season long. What do you think here for your fantasy, first week of the fantasy playoffs with him?
Oh, man, if you've got David Montgomery and he's one of your RB1s or RB2s, you're kind of in a rough spot. Are you in the playoffs if you have David Montgomery as an RB1 or an RB2?
Maybe if he's your flex 2 or flex 3, maybe? And maybe you've got some injuries?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, there's such a wide gap between his floor possibilities and his ceiling possibilities that, like, I would look for somebody with a bit of a better floor, especially in PPR. I'm looking at a wide receiver in that spot opposed to maybe David Montgomery. If you can find a Tariq Cohen or somebody like that on the waiver wire, is a better route for me.
I think I agree with that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm a wide receiver 32, under 61.
Running back 32, maybe even.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what did I say?
Wide receiver 32.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely worse than wide receiver 32. We'll say it. Do not put him in your wide receiver slot. It will not work. I promise you will get 0. But yeah, running back 32, under 61 rushing yards in 8 of 12 games, including 7 of the past 9. He hasn't delivered there very well. The two recent exceptions, actually, the ones where he actually has a decent number of rushing yards, the Chargers, where they gave him 27 carries. That's 9 above his season high otherwise. So that's kind of a fluke. We're not going to get too caught up in that. And then last week against the Lions, who we know, Daniel, have been really bad against running backs this season. This week they're playing Dallas 22nd in rushing attempts against running backs, 23rd in rushing yards against, 19th in yards per carry allowed. His efficiency has not been good enough. 3.5 yards per carry, below average after contact. He's actually finished as a top 30 running back, top 30 in 42% of his games. That ranks 41st at the running back position. Not the wide receiver position, the running back position. So for me, I'm with Al. I'm with you. If you can get him on your bench, do it.
Get out. Yeah. All right. So that is our season-long Thursday Night Football preview. Obviously, if you play any of the DFS slates that include the Thursday Night game, you can use any of that. But now, on to our regularly scheduled program of the Thursday DFS podcast. Hopefully you guys stick around, because there's, even if you don't play DFS, there's a lot of really good information in
here. Yeah, we're just going player by player here. I mean, we're going to talk about guys like Ryan Tannehill and like Devonta Freeman, Kenyon Drake, guys who you're considering for your flex spot, right? Because we're mostly looking at value plays here. So no question, we'll cover both sides.
If you want to play DFS with us, Mike and I have a DraftKings lineup that we do every single week. There is a free DraftKings league. You can win money every single week, $200. Costs nothing to enter, $0. So come join us. Mike and I will tweet it out at the end of the show, at Mike Clay NFL, at Daniel Dot for me, at Al Zeidenfeld on Twitter. So make sure to follow us, and you can see not only our lineups, but the link to get in for free and possibly win money at the end of the week.
Can't beat that.
Let us talk quarterbacks. And we just mentioned him, Ryan Tannehill, taking on the Oakland Raiders, $5,800. Ryan Tannehill has definitely come on strong since taking over that spot from Marcus Mariota. Mike, what is it that you like about him this week?
I like him more than Dak Prescott.
I understand that.
Yeah, look, you mentioned it, $5,800 at Oakland. The Raiders have been better at home, which makes me just gives me a little shred of nervousness here. We also saw Ryan Tannehill come back to earth a bit last week in fantasy. He still played very well, which gives you optimism about his future value. Still threw two touchdowns for the fifth time in six games as the Titans starter. He also has three rushing touchdowns during that span. He's hit the 300-yard bonus twice. You get three bonus points at DraftKings for that, so that's important. His efficiency has been terrific. He's completing 73% of his passes, which is second best in the NFL, despite an 8.8 average depth of throw. That's 10th highest. You usually don't see that. A guy who's throwing down the field a lot, still completing a high percentage of his passes. Maybe that's not sustainable, but nonetheless, he's playing very good football. His 9.1 yards per attempt is best in the NFL. And since he took over as the starter, he is QB6 in fantasy points. He has been terrific. By the way, the Raiders defense, obviously we have to mention that. A great matchup here. Fourth most fantasy points to quarterbacks, seventh most yards, third most passing touchdowns with 27 allowed already in 12 games this season.
Wow.
Sixth highest average depth of throw. I just mentioned Tannehill likes to go downfield. And the fourth worst yards per attempt at 8.2. Sets up really nicely for a lot of volume production here for Tannehill.
Okay. Let's look at another guy that we have here. Jameis Winston taking on the Indianapolis Colts, $6,400. And I was talking to Thirsty Kyle about this yesterday because the idea is sort of like good Jameis, bad Jameis, right? That's the way that we've always thought about it. But this year, good Jameis hasn't even been like the good Jameis that we feel like we usually get. 400 yards and four touchdowns every once in a while to help you win a week because he's had so many turnovers. But the idea that once you do get that Jameis Winston reaching that 300-yard mark, couple of touchdowns, if he can just ever have a game where it's, hey, I'm only going to throw one interception rather than four, he would be a fantastic quarterback. But this week against the Colts, Mike, tell me what you like about him.
Yeah, if we put together an all season team for this podcast, he's definitely a candidate for the quarterback. Him or Matt Ryan, I guess, right? Like 100%. The Philip Lindsay's, guys like that we talk about a lot, DJ Moore. But Winston, a guy whose price is just not high enough right now. He's been too good. They're playing the Colts. They've been decent against the quarterbacks, as I'll get to here, but he's still a decent price at $6,400. They had a really good game script last week against Jacksonville. They didn't have to throw quite as much. Like, he got up to 250 yards around the end of the third quarter and ended up at like 268. He basically had nothing down the stretch.
Yep.
Otherwise, we would expect him in a closer game to push for 350. Nonetheless, no touchdowns in that game. Still, like I said, at 268 yards, 8.1 yards per attempt, added 20 rushing yards. So he was still was in the mold of the player who we've seen put up huge fantasy days. So he's nothing to panic about with that game. He has 300-plus passing yards in 8 of 10 games.
Yep.
That's 8 of his past 10 games, I should say. So he's been hitting that bonus. That's excellent. He also has at least 20 rushing yards in 5 of his past 6 games. So he's adding a few points. He's making up for those interceptions that you're worried about there.
Yep.
2-plus passing touchdowns in 7 of 12 games. So he has had that ceiling. He hits 300. He does a lot of things right. And then again, the matchup, you know, again, the Colts decent against quarterbacks, but it's pretty much a neutral matchup, right? They're kind of in mid-pack in most categories. They've allowed a 69% completion percentage. That's fourth highest in the league.
Yep.
Yeah. So it is nice indeed. Yeah. So anyway, Jameis, we like you again.
Yeah.
Just don't throw one touchdown at four picks and we'll be happy.
Don't do it. That's what it's all about. All right. Al, we're going to move on to you because you've got a guy that boy, oh boy. Sam Darnold. I feel like Sam Darnold's become the new Jameis Winston because it's like, which Sam Darnold are you getting here? Is it the good Sam Darnold or the bad Sam Darnold? But like, taking on the Miami Dolphins this week. I mean, is this a Sam Darnold conversation or is this a matchup against the Dolphins conversation?
Kind of a Dolphins conversation. It's like to channel my inner Mr. Mackey from South Park. Like, the Dolphins are bad, okay? They've allowed 22.6 fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this year. They've allowed 105.3 passer rating to opposing quarterbacks. And it's not volume at the quarterback position that translates to fantasy points. It's efficiency. And they've allowed that in spades. They're allowing a league high 2.62 points per drive this season. Now, I don't want to rub any salt in the wound, albeit it should have closed by now. But the Lions, you remember when they didn't win a game in like 2008? They allowed 2.61 points per drive, so the Dolphins are worse defensively than the 0-16 Lions were in that season.
Yikes. Not good.
Not great.
That's not great. I was there
We've seen
season.
Touchdown games out of Sam Darnold. This looks like it's going to be another one. Yes, he kind of struggled against them the first time they played, but this game's in New York. And in the Jets' last two wins, Darnold's got 608 passing yards and 6 passing touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
Indeed.
If you think they're going to pull out the W there and that's what he's doing, man, it's hard to argue with that. And $6,000 is not a bad price tag.
No. He had a down week last week, as projected by someone, not Field Yates,
not
on this show last week. Anyway, he was pretty aggressive about that, so I have to give him a little nudge.
But,
down game for Darnold, but he's the shot to get back on track here.
I think
sure.
he has a chance. I think he has a chance. Two other guys that we really like, David Blau, as an option, and then Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
How much disrespect do we have for Derek Carr this week? $5,000 on DraftKings. That's priced below both Titans quarterbacks. The Titans are only going to play one of those quarterbacks, and yet Derek Carr is below one of them. Here's the thing. Tennessee has allowed a quarterback to reach the 300-yard bonus or throw multiple touchdown passes 9 times this year. 9 times.
Non-great.
So if you are looking for a value play and you think that Derek Carr can either get to that 300-yard bonus or throw multiple touchdowns, he's almost assuredly going to outpace this $5,000 value. So
yeah. Don't spend up a Mariota when you could use Derek Carr.
But you could use Derek Carr there.
That's what you come here for.
Mike, you know what? You're so great. I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell us a couple things that we need to know about TD Ameritrade.
Okay, I will. You know that fantasy football feeling?
Oh, I know that. Every day.
When the excitement for a new week builds.
Oh, so good.
You flex your analytic skills. Ugh. That's the one thing I can flex. By poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. Well, what if I told you that you could use those skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every day? TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of these same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money, so you can practice trading risk-free, charting to help you spot trends in the market, and they'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. That's tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC.
All right, Mike Clay, looking at running backs right now, and Devontae Freeman coming back, taking on the Carolina Panthers. Only $5,400, and if I'm not mistaken, this Panthers team can be had on the ground.
No question about it, and that's why I like him a lot this week. In daily fantasy, at only $5,400, a great price. I like him in season long, too. He's obviously been a tough start in season long. I have him on one or two teams. He's been tough, but you can be excited with the playoffs here with this matchup. So, look, he had kind of an underwhelming return from injury last week, but he still had 64 yards on 21 touches. He played 66% of the snaps, so the volume is there, right? You don't have to worry about him coming off the field too often. He has 16 or more fantasy points in 4 of his past 7, so he's at least shown that ability to be productive in fantasy. 19-plus touches in 5 of his past 8 games. There's the volume. He does have, believe it or not, he has 0 rushing touchdowns this season, which is kind of hard to believe, but he does have 3 touchdown catches, which has helped. And you mentioned it, the Panthers defense, second most fantasy points allowed to running backs this season, the most on a per-snap basis. They've allowed the most rushing touchdowns with 19, so maybe, perhaps, he gets on the board this week. This is the first time these teams have played this season. And also in total touchdowns allowed with 22, they're allowing 5.4 yards per carry to running backs. That is highest in the NFL. They just made a coaching change in Carolina. Not sure that's going to be enough to move the needle this week. They kept their defensive coordinator on board. So I think Freeman's set up to finally maybe have one of his big weeks. I'm not going to bench him in season long, and I'm certainly going to get him in my DFS lineup if I can.
Okay, let's look at another guy here that is, man, and this backfield is just vexing, but Kenyon Drake of the Arizona Cardinals, I want to make sure that I'm right here with this, Thirsty Kyle, but since the trade from Miami to the Cardinals, he's had double-digit touches every single week, even with David Johnson being there, even with Chase Edmonds, back and forth with all that. So, like, he's a guy that they are actively using this week, costing $5,200. I'm curious, how much confidence do you have in Kenyon Drake understanding the uncertainty around that running back role with the Cardinals?
Is there uncertainty right now?
Not really, because who is David Johnson anymore? I mean, it's like he doesn't even exist in that backfield.
Right, that's exactly right. I mean, last week, Chase Edmonds was back, too. And you know how many snaps he played?
How many?
Zero snaps.
That's not good. He is a non-factor.
David Johnson, also not a factor. Kenyon Drake played 79% of the snaps last week with both of those guys active. Had 13 carries and 5 targets. Drake, you know, to point to what you've said since he's joined that team, 79% of the snaps he has played.
That is
which
outrageous.
Is basically just workhorse usage. It's not a committee. He is their feature back right now.
What happened?
I don't know. They like him. They traded for him. We thought as an injury replacement, and he has become their feature back.
So, I don't understand.
It's been unreal.
Great. But good for him.
So anyway, 4 games with Zona. I mentioned almost 80% of the snaps, 3 top 21 fantasy weeks. The problem here is the matchup. The Steelers are very good against running backs.
Yeah.
6 fewest fantasy points to running backs, only 5 touchdowns allowed. However, maybe a crack in the armor this past week, right? The Browns running backs put up 26 points against them. Now, it's Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They use both of those guys, but Drake is used both ways. He can run the ball, as mentioned, you know, 12 to 15 times, and he could see 5 to 7 targets. No doubt about it. And again, the defense is a variable, but also his price point is variable, 5,200, which is fantastic, and obviously his workload. So you have volume, you have the price, you have the matchup. 2 of those 3 things are outstanding, so I still think he comes in as a value play this week, and I think a lot of people will be afraid of him because of maybe some concern about the other running backs, maybe concern about the matchup. I think that he's an interesting play.
That's good. I'm glad that you bring it up, because when you talk about how, you know, what his snap percentage is since joining the team, Thirsty Kyle sent me a text here in the middle of this, at least 15 touches every single game since joining the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
So from that price point, that's fantastic. Another guy, normally we only talk about 2 guys, you know, for this spot, but if Dalvin Cook, for some reason, does not play, I feel like we need to mention Alexander Mattison.
No question. He will shoot from a bad play right now to, and probably the best play in DFS.
Yeah, he'll be $4,500 this week.
Yeah, he'll be the chalk, but in which means, for those not familiar, it means like everybody's going to use him.
Yeah.
But you have to, basically, to keep up in cash, because he's basically in season long, we'll rank him top 10. Maybe some people have him top 5, because he's basically going to take over 80 to 90%, perhaps 100%. Of Dalvin Cook's workload. So
yep.
No question, if Cook was ruled out, and it sounds like Cook's going to play, he says he's going to play, but if they're like, let's give him a week off, we'll use Mattison, keep him fresh, let him get healthy. Mattison is a guy in cash you're going to want in your lineup.
Okay. Al Zeidenfeld, let's move on to you and talk about a running back here. Melvin Gordon taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. It took a little bit for Melvin to get back on track, but the last couple of weeks he has been cooking. Tell me what you like about him in this week, in this matchup against Jacksonville.
I mean, the last couple of weeks, the last month, I mean, we're talking about 22 carries last week against Denver. He had 17 against Kansas City. He had 23 touches against Oakland, 23 touches against Green Bay. So give me all that volume for only 6,400. And he's got a matchup against Jacksonville, who's kind of a reputation defense at this point. We're like, okay, we used to not want to play players against the Jags. But if you look at the last 4 weeks, the Jaguars are allowing the second most points to opposing running backs on DraftKings, with over 156 yards per game allowed over that span in those 3 games to opposing running backs. They've had 4 games where they've allowed teams to run for over 200 yards against them. So give me the guy who's getting the most volume against this Jags defense, and right now that's Melvin Gordon. And like Mike said, the value of running backs right there in the mid-range this week, where if you want to pay up for a super high-priced guy, fine. But Kenyon Drake's getting a lot of volume. Melvin Gordon's getting a lot of volume. And they're kind of at a bargain price in good spot.
Okay. I like that. That's going to allude a little bit to my lineup. I felt like there were a lot of like good values at running back this week that maybe I could look at. So we'll see. We'll see how this works out. A couple of the guys, obviously CMC, only $10,300 this week. That's a $200 discount from last week.
And he's still a great value. He's one of the top values we have. And as is Melvin Gordon, who Al just mentioned, is in the 77th percentile. So definitely.
Every week, I always try and build a lineup with CMC just to see what it would look like, where it's like, do I like the way that this pans out, or do I want to go a different direction? So we'll see how that works out this week. Another guy, Leonard Fournette. Fournette is running 28.1 routes per game this season. That only trails Christian McCaffrey. Like, bruising running back Leonard Fournette is running a crazy number of routes in the passing game.
Yeah, and he's way cheaper than Christian McCaffrey. I mean, if he was scoring touchdowns, which he did too last week, so maybe he's back on track. If he was scoring touchdowns, he would be right up there with McCaffrey. I mean, we'd be talking about him as an elite fantasy option.
That usage
option
is just outrageous.
I mean, next year we're going to be talking about him. Right now as a top 5, top 7 overall pick in season-long drafts. I mean, he's legit getting outstanding workhorse, centerpiece, McCaffrey-like, Le'Veon Bell prime workload.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a lot of adjectives and caveats as a part of that, but I think I'm with you on
all
of them.
You get the point. Yeah. I'm trying to push it home. I'm trying to drive it home.
Okay, yes. Daniel. Got it. Love it. Okay. A couple of other guys, Philip Lindsay and Alvin Kamara. If you just want to look at those two guys, both some decent plays that we think this week at running back. All right, let's talk wide receiver. Cortland Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
Cortland Sutton, even with the dearth that is that quarterback position in Denver, has been really good this year. Really good. Taking on the Houston Texans. $6,400, Mike. Tell me what you like about this matchup against Houston.
Yeah, I definitely like the price compared to his production. I'm a little nervous still about the quarterback change. Drew Lock started off very well and hit him for two touchdowns.
Yep.
Despite facing Casey Hayward last week. The matchup's much easier against Houston this week. Only had five targets in that game. That was a season low. So a little nervous how Lock kind of started well and then dropped off. You know, what are we going to get from him this week? That makes me a little bit nervous. But again, the other variables that we're going to consider here make him a good value play. Sutton has exactly eight targets in eight of his 12 games. He's really given you a consistent workload this season, has 14 plus fantasy points in eight of his 12 games. He's been a top 20 fantasy receiver in six of his past 9 weeks. He's a top 11 receiver in receiving yards, touchdowns with six, end zone targets with eight, yards per reception at almost 17, yards per target at over 10. I mean, he's been efficient. The volume and the efficiency, it's becoming a trend on the show, I think. They have both been terrific, and I mentioned Houston defense, 12th most fantasy points allowed to receivers. They've allowed 15 touchdowns to that position. That is 7th most. They're in the upper half in targets, receptions, and yards per reception allowed. So again, even with Drew Lock in there at 6,400, I still think Sutton is a fine play.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I feel like that name recognition hasn't caught up with how well he's played yet this year.
Yeah, he's emerging into a superstar. There's quite a few. That's kind of one of the topics that I think we'll talk about in the offseason that we, or maybe at the end of the year when we're wrapping it up, that we haven't really talked about yet is young receivers, first and second year receivers really blooming into
DJ
stars.
DJ Chark
has
looked
season.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, Cortland Sutton.
It's going to, and what's interesting is like next year, it's going to be harder for guys like rookies and new guys to crack into the top 20 and top 30 receiver because we have this whole new explosion of young talent at the position.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. All right, another guy that we really like, not a new or young wide receiver, Julian Edelman, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, $7,100. Mike, how many weeks in a row has Julian Edelman had double-digit targets? That's the question.
Seven.
It's like you knew that. Okay, first off, seven straight weeks of double-digit targets?
Yes.
And now they're taking on an offense that you probably expect to score, what, 28, 35, 42 points?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs have been good against wide receivers this season. Very good, actually. Third fewest fantasy points allowed, but most of it has been against the perimeter. They've shut down the perimeter. They've not been nearly as good against the slot. Third fewest fantasy points allowed to the perimeter. Eighth most allowed to the slot. Julian Edelman is the slot receiver for the Patriots. 68%. I'll see a lot of Kendall Fuller this week, who's really taken a step back here this season. Also, you and I and Al were actually texting yesterday, and I pointed out an observation that the Chiefs have had one of the easiest schedules. The Chiefs defense have had one of the easiest schedules against opposing receivers, so maybe those numbers aren't as dominant as they seem. Julian Edelman, again, we always undervalue this guy because he's older and he's not really your typical perimeter downfield, you know, huge touchdown scorer sort of guy. He's the number five scoring fantasy receiver this season. Five, just quietly works his way into the top five. 14 plus fantasy points in eight straight games and in 10 of 12 this season. You mentioned the double-digit targets in seven straight games. He also has eight plus in 11 of 12. That's an incredibly high floor that he gives you. The only exception was actually week two. That was a long time ago. Five plus catches in consecutive games. I don't even know what the number is here, but five plus catches in a lot of consecutive games and a 100-yard bonus three different times. So the guy has been money in the bank, and at 7,100, he's a value here.
Love it. I kind of think, what do you think? Do I look like Julian Edelman? Look at that little picture in the bottom of your screen. And then,
A little bit. A little bit.
Maybe.
Maybe he's missing that large beard. But
Maybe if you've had a couple of adult beverages and then you see me from across the room, you would think, oh, it's Julian Edelman over there?
Julian, I'm going to start telling people that's you.
Yeah, playoff Julian Edelman with the playoff beard.
There it is.
That's
there you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's fair.
Adds up.
Al, stack alert here. Jamison Crowder. You want to stack him, I'm assuming, with the quarterback that you mentioned a little bit earlier in Sam Darnold. Tell me what you like about Jamison Crowder. Only $5,300 against the Dolphins this week.
I mean, the way that standard roster construction is kind of lining up this week, if you want to pay up for one of the top wide receivers or top running backs, based on the values that I believe are out there, you're being funneled into another wide receiver that fits somewhere around 5K to 5,500 on DraftKings. And in that range, Jamison Crowder is my favorite of the bunch. partly because of the matchup with Miami, partly because of Sam Darnold and how much he loves throwing to his slot receivers. And the big games that Darnold has had, Jamison Crowder has correlated with a big game during those games, especially the last time that they played Miami, catching 8 of the 9 balls thrown his way, finding his way into the end zone, something that Miami has really been bad at preventing this year. They've allowed opponents to score on 48.1% of their drives, nearly 13 points above percentage points above the league average. So if Darnold is to have a big game this week, Jamison Crowder probably also going to have a big game this week.
Okay. I like that. I mean, it's hard to argue with that sentiment. If you think that Darnold's going to have a good game, Jamison Crowder probably also have a good game. So I like it. I like it. Smart. A couple guys that we have, Michael Thomas. I mean, every week he's just absolutely killer, 100% matchup proof. Mike Evans, Deontay Johnson, really good value play. Marvin Jones. How about DJ Moore again? $7,000. DJ Moore ranks 4th in the NFL in targets per game since week 6 with 10.9. That's more than DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones. I mean, the idea, he's another one of these guys that we talk about. Just hopefully the community has realized, but like DJ Moore is a emerging superstar in this league. And again, doesn't have that name recognition of a DeAndre or a Julio, but he is so much volume from DJ Moore. Huge value there.
Yeah, no question. He's been a value for a couple months now. I mean, since it was so warm outside.
We have mentioned him. Him and Curtis Samuel both always feel like they are good values here. All right, let's move ahead to some tight ends where, Mike, George Kittle, who had a very poor week last week, taking on the New Orleans Saints, only $5,900. I feel like that week was an aberration, not something that you think is going to happen every week, because before that, he had been playing really well. What do you like about George Kittle against the Saints?
Yeah, that was a rare dud, and so he's a value at $5,900. I like him a lot here. He had produced 15-plus fantasy points in 3 straight in 5 of his previous 6 before that odd down game there in Baltimore. He was just really heating up this season before that happened. 6-plus catches in 7 of 10 games, a target share of 19% or higher in 8 straight games. His 10.1 yards per target is not only tops in the NFL this season, it's the same as last year's mark. Think about how dominant he was. He set records last season.
Yes, he did.
It's the same yards per target this season. The Saints defense is 21st in fantasy points allowed to tight ends, but 9th on a per snap basis. They haven't faced a lot of volume in that area, and you know the volume's coming to one George Kittle. A 72% catch rate allowed, that's 7th highest. 7.5 yards per target is 14th. They've only allowed 3 touchdowns. That's where they really knocked down the fantasy point total, but the Saints defense isn't anything you need to be afraid of. So for me, I consider it basically a neutral matchup. We know how good George Kittle is, and at under 6,000, I think he's a terrific play.
Okay. Another guy that had a down week last week that we like again this week, Hunter Henry, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, only $5,100. Again, last week is not what we had seen from Hunter Henry in the previous week, so I'm going to wipe it from my memory and assume that I can put him in my lineup and feel pretty good about it this week.
Yeah, it's hard to believe the gap between he and Kittle is $800, right? I mean, certainly we feel a little bit better about Kittle, but Henry has been just as productive basically since he's been back from injury. He only had the 3 targets, as you mentioned last week, but 8.2 per game in his previous 6 games since returning from injury, 6 or more in all of them. 8.7 or more fantasy points in each of his 7 games prior to week 13 at 13 plus in 5 of those 6 games. So he was delivering the goods until that Denver defense. Has 60 plus yards or a touchdown in 6 of 8 games. His 10.2 average depth of target, that's number one at tight end. He's getting the ball deep downfield. And you know what? He's missed 4 games this season, right? So even including the entire season, okay, he sat out 4 games, took a 0. He's still the number 8 scoring tight end this season. The guy has been super productive. And by the way, the Jags defense, they faced the 4th fewest targets to tight ends. The 4th fewest, but they've allowed 5 touchdowns. That's 9th most. Average allowing 8.3 yards per target. That's 7th highest.
Okay.
A 72% catch rate. That's 6th highest. They've faced 8 end zone targets. That's 3rd most. So again, they haven't faced much volume in terms of routes and targets against tight ends, but they're allowing a ton of production to that position on a per play basis. So I think it's actually a good matchup. You take the price discount here off the bad week with Henry, and you can certainly get him in your lineup.
Yeah, that's surprising, the low volume, high output, the way that that's worked against the Jaguars.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and the volume, again, and I kind of mentioned this with the Saints defense as well with Kittle, right? You know the volume's going to these guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
They probably just face some low volume tight ends, and obviously we don't need to get into that now. But it should add up to productive days for both of these guys.
Okay. Al, another guy that I believe we talked about him last week that you like again this week, Jack Doyle, Only $4,600 taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Am I missing something? Why is this so cheap? This feels like a really great value here.
I mean, considering the vacated targets that he kind of vacuumed up last week with Eric Ebron going on IR, taking the rest of the season off in Bora Bora, and the absence of T.Y. Hilton, now you've got, I mean, we're going to have to watch injury reports, see if T.Y. Hilton's going to be back this week. But obviously, I don't think that affects the way that they throw the ball to the tight end, because the Colts definitely love to pepper the tight end with a bunch of targets. And he's also got a really good matchup. There's a few guys in this 4K to 4,600 range that are a little bit intriguing. We talked at length in that group text that you were talking about earlier with going against Arizona. But Tampa Bay's been a team that we've streamed tight ends against all year long as well. They're one of the worst five teams in terms of DraftKings points against to opposing tight ends. And Jack Doyle is somebody who's seeing a major uptick in terms of his volume because of all the absent targets that he's going to be soaking up with Ebron gone. We knew that he was the number one guy, but he was going to split. Now he's going to see a bump in terms of his red zone looks, his end zone targets, which are the highest leverage targets that you can get for any sort of pass catcher.
Sure.
And if he's got a floor of 7 to 10 targets in any week, this is a guy who in season long leagues could be a league winner and isn't priced up yet enough in DraftKings. You know, he was 3,300 last week, got a significant price bump to 4,600 here in week 14. But to me, he should be 5,200, 5,300. So I still think he's a value versus his volume or expected volume for the price.
Okay. I don't disagree with any of that, Al. That's why you do what you do. And also, check out Al's Best Buys column on ESPN.com. And Mike also has a number of fantastic DFS columns you put out as far as whether it's DraftKings or FanDuel, being able to have really good value plays for each week available on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, if you're wondering why when you talk about a player you're interested in, I think that player should be a good value. This chart shows you great, good, average, shaky, or poor value for every player in the main slate on Sunday, so you can kind of scan through and see what it looks like with projected points and pricing. And by the way, I kind of mentioned this, and we should mention Vance McDonald, right? Because what we were talking about is that the Arizona defense has been so bad against tight ends. Well, they get Vance McDonald this week. The problem is they priced him up to 4,300. So for me, he's been so unreliable this year that it's still tough, but he's the ninth highest priced tight end in the main slate. For me, he comes in the 50th percentile. He's right in the middle in terms of value and projected for 9 points. He's 4,300. So it's not a bad guy, especially in tournaments, to take a shot at, because maybe he'll score two or three touchdowns because they've been so bad against that position. But he doesn't show up as a really good value like some of these other guys.
Because DraftKings has been really aggressive about pricing players up in really good matchups, right? To make them less palatable. If he was 3,500, he'd be on everybody's roster this week. 4,300 gives you pause.
Yeah, and that's why sometimes I'm talking about a Kenyon Drake, right? A guy that has a bad matchup, but it's still a value play, because DraftKings is really good about adjusting for matchup. That's frustrating for us because we want to say all positive stats, like great matchup, great value. Like they price for that. You know, they do a good job with it. So other than maybe taking advantage of Monday Night Football guys, so the price is already in before that, it's really hard to find super great values because of the matchup, at least.
Yeah, it's hard for me to now take the other side of the argument we were texting about, where it's like, Arizona Cardinals and tight ends, and now Vance McDonald, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Vance has been bad all year long.
Yeah, it's tough.
Ugh.
It's tough, but then again, Tyler Higbee went off last week.
I know.
It's like, if he can do it.
He crushed it. And Al, I want to say this. Al, you were on that, like, on Monday when the pricing came out, where you were like, if Gerald Everett misses, Tyler Higbee is going to be a huge play this week, and he absolutely crushed it. So,
no doubt.
Hats off to you, my friend.
You could see that coming. He was out snapping Everett in that game before the injury. Mike pointed it out, and I kind of piggybacked on that on Twitter. I was like, Higbee's already, you know, out snapping Everett right now, and he gets checks notes the Cardinals next week.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Worked out well. All right, a couple of the guys that we like, Greg Olsen at tight end, and Travis Kelce. The Patriots rank third in pressure percentage, and Kelce has caught 12 of 14 targets when Mahomes has faced pressure this year. Also, Kelce has twice as many games with 85-plus receiving yards as any other tight end this season with 6. Like, Travis Kelce, we all know who he is, but $6,200, if you're able to find a way to be able to utilize that, you know, you want to spend the money there, like $6,200 for the volume he's going to get, you're getting a receiver basically at that position for that price point.
Yeah, no doubt. And why we mention those guys is there's still values at the price point, right? Some guys are at that high price point are not good values. Travis Kelce, Kittle, Henry, some of these stars of tight ends are.
All right. Mike and I are going to set our DFS lineups and let Al choose who he likes more. But first, the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is brought to you by ADT. You can get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT, combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you. You get 18,000 employees safeguarding you with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. You also get a professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You can get a system custom designed to fit your home. And you get safety on the go in your car or when your kids are at school with the ADT Go app and the SOS button. So please support ADT because they support us. They help keep this podcast what it is. And now it is time. Week 14, DFS lineups. Mike, last week, eFunk529 scored a whopping 207.7 in our DFS league, bringing home the number one prize. Congratulations to eFunk521. Well, Mike, you cashed this week. If this had been a 50-50, would have been in the money with 144.02 points, which is nice.
Yeah, I think we've cashed every week. Might have been one exception. I had a 129 the one week, but we're still rolling.
That week you had 129, I cashed. So between the two of us.
There you go. Hopefully you listen to me every week except for that one.
I listen to me every week except for those ones, which is probably why you are ahead in the totals. Mike has an 8-5 advantage when Al is picking him. He's up 108.56 points. I gotta start getting some lineups here. So
yeah, not when Al's picking me. I'm just 8-5 against you this season.
You're 8-5 against me, and Al is
Al 7-3.
Oh, Al is 7-3. That's
he hasn't picked every week. We did knock him for last week. Remember, he wasn't here.
That's true. He was traveling
with his family for the holidays.
Yeah. Who does that? Cool, anyway, buddy. Al's still 7-3. So should we do our lineups?
Yeah, let's do it.
Our lineups. Okay. I'm going Tannehill. We talked about him. He's my quarterback. Running backs are Devontae Freeman, Kenyon Drake. Of course, I'm following my board here.
Yep, I like it.
Leonard Fournette, we mentioned his huge volume. He's going to be my flex. Curtis Samuel gets Atlanta. Still like him. We mentioned him in passing earlier. Michael Thomas can't beat that high floor and high ceiling for the Saints. I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson. We mentioned him in passing. He gets Arizona. No Juju Smith-Schuster. I think Johnson and Washington on the perimeter against these struggling Arizona corners are a terrific place. He's only 4,300. So he slides in there. George Kittle at tight end, and the Colts defense. I'm going to hope for some. We mentioned Winston, so maybe you don't want to go Winston and Colts defense, but Winston could have a huge day, and the Colts could still have a pick six against him or get a few interceptions and a couple sacks. So at 2,400, again, sometimes you just punt that position and try to generate some turnovers. That's what I'm doing here with the Colts, or at least what our optimizer is doing. So Colts are the defense.
Okay. For my lineup, I'm going to take at quarterback the aforementioned Derek Carr, $5,000. How dare you? Derek Carr is totally going to outscore this projection. I just want to say that right now. my running backs are Devontae Freeman, Melvin Gordon, who we both talked about, and Carlos Hyde. I'm taking Carlos Hyde, $4,500. I think he's a good value.
You'll be praying for a touchdown.
That's right. Okay, yep. 100%. That or 100 yards or 100 yards receiving or 10 catches.
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting
most
of those.
He can get there anywhere.
Things.
You know what? Don't you tell me how it's going to work.
He's going to get 100 receiving yards and zero targets. That will be impressive.
You know what?
Anyway, carry on.
He might get a 99-yard catch for a touchdown. at wide receiver, Michael Thomas. We briefly mentioned him. I tried to find a way to get CMC in this lineup and feel good about it, and I just wasn't. I'm not expert level the way that Al is yet, so I wasn't able to be able to get there.
Yeah, you got
to
find some serious values. Maybe if Alex Madison is the starter for Minnesota, that would be a way to do it. McCaffrey Madison.
If Dalvin Cook is out, I reserve the right now to be able to change this lineup, put Alexander Madison in there, and then also find a way to get CMC in. My other wide receivers with Michael Thomas are DJ Moore and Marvin Jones, and my tight end is Darren Waller. I'm going with that stack with Derek Carr. And then I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs, $2,200. At this point, I just needed to be able to. I tried to get the Colts. I wanted the Colts really badly because that was my thought, too.
Yep.
The idea that Jameis is going to throw some interceptions. But you know what? $2,200, Kansas City against New England, that's not a bad value either.
No doubt about it. And remember, if you're listening and you're or watching and you're like, man, I could beat those lineups easily. What should you do, Daniel?
Do it. Then come join our DFS League. I'm telling you right now, it is free. Costs $0 to enter. You can come and hang out with us. Mike and I play every single week. You can bring home, there's $200 in free prizes. We will tweet it out at Mike Clay NFL, at Daniel Dopp, at Al Zeidenfeld to let you know where you can join. All right. Yep. This is it.
We just need to know who Al's picking.
This is where it really comes down to it because usually who Al picks is who brings home the trophy that week. So, Al, who is it that you like in week 14?
See, that sigh was kind of telling.
I know, Al. All right.
Al's learning.
See, here's the thing. In cash games, unlike tournaments, you don't need to stack your quarterback. So I think that it was very sharp that both of you did not feel the need to do that. You're looking for value. You're looking for floor. And I think you both have good floor lineups, but I think that Mike's lineup for being set on a Thursday morning right now, from the way the projections look and the way that everything looks, it's an absolutely flawless lineup. I can't pick a bone with it.
Flawless? What?
Wow, that's high praise. I might as well just take the W now. I have not said that once this year.
Wow, you know what that means? That means you are screwed, Mike Clay.
No, it doesn't. Al's yes. 7-3
no,
this year.
He's no, if Al says now. It is flawless, that means it is going to flop like nobody's.
It was so good. I knew my lineup was so good that I wrote my name next to Smizzle's pick in our document before he even said it.
Stupid. You are stupid right now. All right. Al's taking Mike Clay. I guess we're going to see how this is going to work out this week.
All right. We will. All right.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us. Every Thursday, we will be here now with the new schedule breaking down the Thursday night football game, the weekly DFS slate, and it's going to be a ton of fun. I am super excited to be able to have this. So for myself, for Mike Clay, for Al Zeidenfeld, we're going to see you guys next week. Peace out. Jackson, play something. Anything. Any sound. Just any sound. Just there we go.
A Lakeford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame.